Now tuned into the greatest.
We are just over a week away from the start of the NBA season, the 2021-22 NBA season. You are tuned in. This is not just another episode of Below the Hardwood or The Open Run. This is a crossover edition where we, because I am joined by my co-host today, Will Strickland of The Open Run podcast, with Will Strickland, to discuss the NBA season previews. My name is Ryan Antonio Henry from Below the Hardwood. And again, we are going to look at each division, starting with the Western Conference. On today's episode, we're going to get right into it, looking at the Southwest Division. The Southwest Division, which has been one of my favorite divisions, mainly because it's been, in my opinion, for the past two decades, one of the hardest divisions to win. As a Dallas Mavericks fan, I've had to deal with the Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, and Popovich-led Spurs. We've had incarnations of the Houston Rockets with Yao Ming, T-Mac, James Harden. You look at the grit and grind Memphis Grizzlies. And then, of course, you know, the Pelicans are in there somewhere. But in my opinion, it's been one of the hardest divisions to win. But these days, it's looking a little easy. So let's break right into it. And Will, how are you doing today?
Trying to maintain, sir, daily operation. There's nothing easy about winning a game in the National Basketball Association, just to make that quite clear. So while the road to success in the Southwestern Conference might be a little bit better or easier, it's not hard. It's not difficult. Injuries, scheduling, anything could happen that throws you off. Coach, anything could throw you off. And I think if you have the right core, you have a culture. And a lot of those young teams down there are trying to develop a culture around winning. And with certain teams going through transitions, as you spoke about earlier with the Spurs, and other teams on the rise, like your Dallas Mavericks, you have to look at all those factors and then weigh the things. And that's what we're going to do today.
That's 100%. We are going to look at each team, see what's going on, the teams itself. And like, let's start off about, I don't know if we're jumping the gun here, but can we get like a surprise team, like a team that we might not be looking at to win this division, but could turn some heads? Will, who's your surprise out of the Southwest Division?
The Houston Rockets.
Okay.
John Wall is not the distraction that Kyrie, Andrew Irving, or Ben Simmons are for their teams in the East. He said that, I'm going to sit down and wait for you to make a trade. They're probably not going to make a trade. He's going to sit out another season not playing basketball in his 30s now, at the end of his athletic prime, because I can't see anyone taking on that ticket price for a guy who can barely stay on the court. However, I'm enthused by the younglings they have on that team. I'm a big, big Stephen Silas fan because I want to see him succeed down there. And with Jalen Green, who could be the rookie of the year, I know all the money's riding on Cade Cunningham,
yep.
But playing Jalen with, Josh Christopher from Arizona State, Alperi Sengun, my man Al P, Turkish League MVP, 19 years old, he looks like he fits. And of course, Usman Gubara. Maybe I said his name wrong, but you get what I'm saying. He played well in the Olympics for Spain. I love their young core. He's going to have, they're going to take their lumps without question. It is a grown man's league. However, you must realize that this is going to be the team that's going to spark a lot of interest. They're going to be like that league pass must watch team in the West for the young team, like a couple of years ago. And for the past couple of years, it was Atlanta and Memphis for me. Atlanta's still in that vibe, and now you're going to see Houston doing the same thing. Remember I said this. Who's your surprise in the Southwest Conference?
I like Houston. I do.
Southwest Division. I had a Rice flashback because we used to play an old Southwest Conference in Houston, so my bad.
Okay. I didn't go the Houston route just because I know they got the young guns in there. You didn't even get to KPJ. KPJ.
No, I'm just talking about the rookies.
Yeah. You were just talking about the rookies.
Just rookies. Like I could have said Jason Tate. I could have said KPJ. I could say all those guys, but really I'm looking at the fact they have these rookies on top of those guys who are now veterans who are still really young. Kevin Porter Jr., I don't know how that's going to work out.
He's got a spark. Because, I think he's going to take the lead on that team, to be honest.
Yeah, but Jalen Green is the natural. He already looks – it's going to be tough. That's going to be Steven Silas' job, but go back to yours.
I want to go with Memphis because – you look at what they did in the offseason, a lot of questionable moves, bringing in giving away Jonas Valanciunas to, again, the opposition in the Pelicans, taking in Steven Adams. A lot of people were kind of like, I just don't see the fit. I don't get it. JV, I think, had a career year last year. He was great for the Grizzlies. He fit well with Ja. He fit well with Dylan Brooks. So it was questionable moves, but I also feel people do not have them on their radar. I don't even think I had Memphis in my introduction. I went through the Spurs. I went through Houston. I went through
Dallas. You talked about the grit and grind, guys.
I did. But this team is just –
You're still trying to figure it out.
Still trying to figure it out. But here's my thing. Here's why I have them as my surprise, because I feel I have so much confidence in Ja's talent that if he stays healthy, no injuries, nothing like that, and a Jaren Jackson who's coming up on a contract, he's that rookie that still needs that extension.
Well, he's not a rookie, but
not a rookie anymore. But
he is a guy who we're still trying to figure out who and what he is in this league. Mm-hmm. His dad played, won a championship in San Antonio.
Yeah,
you know. Jaren Jackson can't stay on the court long enough. It's really a Dylan Brooks and Demetrius Jamal Morant team right now. Let's be clear. And as they go, so will this team. But until J3 decides what he's going to do in Memphis and becomes what they think he could be, they move nowhere and they become stagnant. And that's going to hurt Ja Morant because he is the unquestioned leader of that team. The heart of that team, obviously, is Canadian Dylan Brooks. But unquestioned leader, Demetrius Jamal Morant.
And I kind of found him. He could end up in a fraternity of loyal losers. I will be talking about that throughout this because there's a lot of loyal losers that they stay hard for and loyal for their teams, but are their teams doing anything for them? So I don't want Ja to fall in that position, but I do feel like he is going to be quality play in tournament action for Memphis this season.
But how many years are they going to play in tournament? And I always find that to be a mistake by players when they announce their loyalty or fealty to a team when they have none in converse to that. They have to do what's best for the team. What's best for John Morant is to not announce this kind of stuff and be like stuck to that thing because there's no obligation toward innovation for the teams. They don't feel like they have to do anything. If I know Ja's going to be there and he's going to draw eyes and oohs and put butts in seats, why do I have to do anything?
Nothing.
So by announcing your intentions, oftentimes through the media, well, I don't want to call it that. Because social media has been weaponized in a lot of ways, and in this case, it can be as well. I just find it's too easy to put your real thoughts out there on the internet, on these rough interweb streets, and let people know how you're really getting down, because they'll leverage that against you in negotiations.
Prime example, Kyrie Irving leaving Boston, but that's another story. Mm. So we got our surprises, but we talked about Houston's young talent. We didn't say anything about the Spurs yet. So my thing with the Spurs in this division is I think this is the worst team Pop has ever had in his tenure coaching the Spurs. And I don't want to, you know, trash these young players, but you lose your star player in DeMar. The team, I go through that roster and I'm like, a lot of these names I'm not even familiar with, to be honest. I will be flat out honest with you. I am not familiar with a lot of these names. I don't see the bona fide leader on that team. They got some talent. They got some quality players, but I feel like they could fall the wayside, maybe even the last in the division.
I don't think so. And I think if there's any other time to hand over the reins to the team, to Becky Hammon, because basically Pop is that fighter that stayed on too long and fought too many fights. Legendary coach, easily first ballot Hall of Famer. We understand that. I understand he still loves the game, but people are questioning his decision-making during the Olympics. This is Greg Popovich they're questioning. A man who's won five titles with different teams every time he won them. And you're just questioning how he coaches again. At that point, you have to look at the tea leaves and be like, let me read this room properly. Is it my time? Right? And I'm not saying that he should have laid off an egg to Becky Hammon, but if you really want to show your coaching chops, take you know what? Take nothing and turn it into something. And I'm not saying they're nothing because they do have veteran players. DeJounte Murray's been in that system for a while. Yeah. I'm going to have Jakob Poeltl, guys who've been down there for a minute. Lonnie Walker, the fourth. You're going to have guys who've been there who understand the culture. And I think I talked about culture before. They're going through a difficult period, but they're always going to be competitive because Greg Popovich is on that bench and they have an identity as a team. You're still trying to figure it out in this new iteration, but again, they could be the worst in that. No. The Pelicans are still there. They don't have a point guard.
Yeah.
Tomas Santoranski is their best point guard.
Yeah.
Now, I am high on letting Willie Green, that badass Willie Green, the new head coach. If you guys know Dolomite, you'll understand the whole Willie Green thing.
Yeah.
But if Willie Green can get whatever he can get out of Point Zion, how does that affect Brandon Ingram? How does that affect what they do with Nikhil Alexander Walker? And also, my pick and my surprise on that team, Trey Murphy III. Remember I said this. He's going to lead all rookies in three-point shooting this upcoming season, much like another Southwest Division player, Desmond Bane, did last year.
All right. We got that in the vault. We'll take a look at that season end. But I like how you brought that to the Pelicans because my thought process on the Pelicans now is Zion even in a Pelicans uniform by the end of the season?
Probably not. Oh, no. He has to be there. The thing is, three coaches in 3 years. There's upheaval in the front office with David Griffin, who came down as the smartest guy in the room because they won a championship in 2016 with the Cavaliers. Gail Benson gave him the keys to the car. She's not even sure she wants to stay in New Orleans, even though she's saying all the right things. They have a contract to 2025 with the Smoothie King Arena and also with the Superdome because she also owns the Saints. I can see the Saints leaving. I can see the Pelicans walking tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. I've just been listening to Zion's little mini eggs that he's been leaving throughout the past couple of seasons. Specifically with his first game in Madison Square Garden, when he kind of indicated that, hey, it was like he was flirting with MSG for a moment. And New York media ran with that and made it something that maybe it was. I don't know that. I'm going to leave that up to everyone's opinion, but kind of sounded like he would have loved to have been drafted by the New York Knicks. And maybe not so much.
His boy plays there.
Exactly.
And I can't see them having three left-handed guys in the starting lineup. There's only been a couple of lineups in the history of the game that three lefties started in the lineup. If Julius Randle's still there, he's not going to go back to New Orleans if they trade him. But if he's part of the trade, what are you going to do? Right? Julius Randle is an all-star, but so was Zion Williamson. So I can't see him trying to play in New York City. You know, I think that's kind of the blueprint. You always pay homage to the Mecca when you go there. So Jordan did it. That didn't mean he wanted to play there. Kobe and this other guy on my podcast, I can't say his name on this one. I can, I guess. LeBron, Raymond James, has always flirted with the idea of playing in the Mecca. That doesn't mean he's going to go there. You know, and it's funny how people conflate things when you say something in the media and they turn it into something real. But yeah.
And
I don't know.
Maybe that was New York media trying to –
or maybe it was something. Zion leveraging Gail Benson and David Griffin and making sure they create some stability down there in the bayou.
Oh, there you go. Foreshadowing a little mini egg, a little, you know, nugget that he can start from because.
Stop referencing food with Zion. Stop. You know, just stop. I like mini eggs, but come on, stop.
I do feel, I know that's another question for another day. I'm just waiting on Zion because I just don't know if he's that 1A guy yet. I feel like he needs maybe a leader, maybe a Kyle Lowry, a Chris Paul to really actually take him and make him what he should be and what he will probably become.
Well, he's not going to get into all those 40, almost 40-year-old guys down there to play with him, dude.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen.
But
good luck to Tomas Santoratsky.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so to close this out, the winner.
What about your beloved Dallas Mavericks? We didn't even talk about them.
The reason why I left them last is, you know what? I'll take this. I'll take the lead on this one. They are my winner, obviously. You have the future, in my opinion, face of the league, a future MVP in Luka Doncic in his fourth year, only looking to become better than he was. Yes, Dallas has had the most interesting offseason I've seen since being a fan. They got rid of the longest tenured GM in league history, I think, possibly, in Donnie Nelson. He's gone. Mm-hmm. Veteran coach, NBA champion Rick Carlisle steps down.
The Wizard
steps down, goes back to Indiana, which, to be honest, good fit for him. I'm happy for him. Mm-hmm. You have a star that was a little bit pissed off about the position.
Whoa, star.
Luka.
There's only one star on that team. There's only one. The guy who's really pissed off was 3-6 Latvia because he didn't know where he fit. And that's Kristaps Porzingis.
And that's where I'm going with this. He has found new life under Jason Kidd. Reports and his interviews is saying that he's actually happy with where he's at. Before, you know, you heard the trade rumors, you heard fans like myself on Twitter angry at you know, the fact that his role in the playoffs was absolutely dreadful. I was ready to ship him out too. But now with Rick Carlisle out, Jason Kidd making a trip all the way to Latvia to go visit Kristaps has the Mavs looking a little bit more promising, and Luka and KP in their 2-3 preseason games so far, a little bit of chemistry. I don't think they hate each other anymore. So
they did not make the kind of front office moves that I can see them taking that next step as a unit. Now they have some continuity because the guys are still together. I get that, but I didn't see that other piece being added that says, yeah, this is it. This is going to take them beyond the first round of the playoffs, whatever the case might be, no matter how great and transcendent.
Yeah.
Luka Lamar Doncic is. I just gave him a middle name. Slavic people don't really have middle names, so yeah. I gave him one. I gave Giannis Ugo Laterance Antetokounmpo a middle name, so I do that. Okay. But
all right.
No matter how great they are, I just don't see – they feel like, okay, new phone, who this? Mm-hmm. But it's the same phone.
Same phone. Same team.
Right? And same team, and that's a good and bad thing. Good thing in this division, bad thing for the rest of the league.
I like that. No, I like that because, you know what, their major addition was actually subtraction. They got rid of Josh Richardson, a trade that I dreaded because Seth Curry's out there in Philadelphia killing it.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of Josh Richardson, which has, you know, eased the fan base. And now we've basically replaced him sort of with a Reggie Bullock, 3-and-D guy, which I'm actually looking forward to seeing Bullock. Apparently, he was a big fan of the 2011 Mavs, so he has a little bit of background with the franchise.
He played well in New York.
He did. So I think it's more the changes in the front office, the better, the gambler that Mark Cuban had loved and praised so much that caused the media outrage from the newsletter at The Athletic about the pseudo-GM Bob Valgeris.
Oh, that definitely changed everything. You got it.
He is now out. He has stepped down, or they have parted ways, whatever you like to
think. That means he was handsomely compensated by Mark Cuban to walk away and not create more of a dumpster fire than this already was.
Exactly. And you know what? When your star player is caught cussing him out, you got to do it because you just paid him $207 million. So Dallas Mavericks are my winners of the division. Yeah, I will agree with you, Will, that will help them in this division, which is, again, somewhat weak compared to the other two. But how does it translate to the full Western Conference. And that's where we'll continue this conversation. Memphis is winning the division. Oh, I thought he was going with Dallas. I was about to cut this, but he you're going with Memphis.
I can't. Maybe I'm being a contrarian, but it's all good. You went for Dallas. Obviously, I'm going to go with Memphis because in Demetrius Jamal Morant, you must trust.
Okay. Hey, I don't hate it. I'm a Ja fan. But let us know who you guys think is taking the Southwest Division. Is it Dallas, Memphis, Houston? I doubt anyone's going to say the Pelicans or Spurs, but who knows? Maybe you guys are fans. Let us know. Of course, you can find all of our future episodes, including the one coming up in the Pacific Division, where we will look at that. We will also look into the Northwest Division to complete the Western Conference season previews. And you can catch this all this week. That's coming out again on Open Run Podcast and Below the Hardwood Podcast, all available on wearepress.net. And of course, you can find the podcasts Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, essentially everywhere podcasts can be found. Thank you for listening to the Southwest Division, and we are out.